baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
We are back. Happy 2023, everybody. Holy crap, man. I'm not going to lie, dude. I think I went through more withdrawals than our listeners did. Like, I was just wandering around the house without you every morning, being like, I'm not talking baseball with Adam. This feels weird. Muttering whiff rates under my breath. 33%, 34%. Like, I just,
this is how widows good to be behave, back. Scott.
It is just good to be back here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the walk-off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. And I do just want to start our first episode of 2023 with a very heartfelt and a little blown away thank you to all of you who have ever hit the like button, who have ever just clicked on a video, who have us subscribed on the audio side of things, because we finished 2023 so strong. We actually hit, like, so just to give you guys all perspective too, Adam and I stopped checking the charts on Apple and stuff like that because we were just like, we're never going to get to that level. Like, we're never going to be at the letters. And we ended 2022 in third spot behind only Deep Left Center with Mike Wilner, you know, a reporter who has been in the Blue Jays realm for a quarter of a century. And at the letters, friends of the show, Ben and Arden, who is like literally one of the baseball podcasts and baseball minds in the entire country. And the fact that we were even in the same breath is mind blowing. To look at our podcast ahead of legends like John Gibbons' podcast.
Pretty cool.
And Blair and Barker, very, very cool. Anyways, so that's our little thank you to all of you out there. We do have some major guests coming up. We're airing tomorrow. Jimmy Burnett, he of course is pitching for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. That's where he ended the season. He's within the Blue Jays organization. Great kid. Lovely interview there. That's going to be out tomorrow. We sit down with Devereaux Harrison, right-handed pitcher that was drafted in the summer, moving up the ranks really quickly here. We talked to him today. Jeff Blair of Blair and Barker on the show on Monday. Shai Davidi, friend of the show, returning on Wednesday. We have Taylor Sesedo joining the show next Thursday. Chris Beck, who is now, this is a man, I want to talk Chris Beck real quick here before we get into this. Chris Beck joined us. Honestly, one of the first interviews we ever did was Chris Beck made time for us in spring training. In the locker room is where he talked to us. It was fantastic. But to see him go from, we talked to him when he was a Vancouver Canadian. We talked to him when he was a New Hampshire Fisher Cat. He is now a Buffalo Bison, and he is probably the first catcher up if there's any bad tacos, knock on all the wood. But very, very cool. So we're excited to talk to Chris Beck. And then we also talked to former Blue Jay, Kelvin Escobar. In a couple weeks.
Very cool.
Very cool. So there you go, guys. Let's get into it. Lots and lots to talk about today. The bullpen philosophy within this organization feels like it's shifting a little bit. And there's a little bit more of an eye on velocity and swing and miss. We'll get into it. Better me in 2023. Adam and I have decided we're going to each pick a couple of players that we can see having big bounce back years, maybe not even bounce back years, but just upping their production from 2022, kind of a boost from within, if you will. Bench options, there's still lots of them out there. We do need a fourth outfielder. We will get into it. Prospects are always hit and miss, but sometimes just there's bumps in the road that prolong their development. So we are going to talk some prospects that were very highly touted only a couple years ago and have kind of fallen off the radar, but very well may help this team in 2023. We're going to talk Rafael Devers. Of course, he was given that massive extension from the Red Sox and how that could possibly affect the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. extension. And the Carlos Correa saga continues. So we will end on that. All right, man. Let's get into it. The bullpen.
Before we get to it, today's episode is brought to you by our Patreon.
Yes.
We've been teasing it a little bit, but the Patreon is going to be taking some big steps forward in 2023. We've got a few new additions to, I guess, the benefits, the perks of the perks. Patreon. So patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast, $4 a month gets you in there. We're in season 4 now of the walkoff. This is episode 1 of season 4, Scott. Can you believe it?
I don't. I think we're 2.5 years in. I feel like this is season three, but either way.
Well, 2020, we did it. 2021, right. We did it. Sure. 2022, we did it. This is 2023 now. So right. This is the fourth season. here we go. Anyways, seasons 1 and 2, we did live watch parties. Remember those?
Yes, I do.
Those were fun, but also a bit of a grind, if I'm being honest. Anyways, we're bringing those back, Patreon exclusive. So
yeah, so everyone can join us. Yeah.
One game a month, we're going to pick a game. It won't be Blue Jays versus Royals. It'll be Blue Jays versus Yankees or Red Sox. It'll be a good game every month. We're going to get together with the Patreon and do a live stream for those games. We have been doing movie reviews, baseball movie reviews. Those may be coming back sporadically, but we are going to be doing monthly.
I'm excited about this.
Monthly movie trivia nights. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll do live stream monthly trivia nights for our Patreon. We are going to keep scores and running tallies, and your scores will affect your prize opportunities. So we're going to have
I'm so excited
big
about
prize
this
at the end of the year, and hopefully a couple smaller prize packages for every monthly trivia night that we do. Go ahead, Scott.
I love this trivia idea because I just love interacting with the community. And this is so exciting to me that we're actually going to sit down on Zoom with a bunch of folks and like run a trivia night. And yeah, I love trivia anyways. I think it's such a fun idea. I'm really excited about it. Anyways,
it'll be great. So we'll run some polls here. By the time you see this episode, there will be polls up in the Patreon. You can vote on which baseball movie you want us to do first for our January trivia night towards the end of the month. Also, as of today, we've been getting a lot of requests that the full
episode.
That's
a nice way of putting it.
Demands, angry DMs, that the full episode goes up before the clips. We tried that. That tanks our algorithm so frustratingly much. So what we're going to do is the full, raw, unedited episodes are going to be up on the Patreon immediately. So as soon as we're done here today, this will go up, then the clips will go up, and then the full episode will be up on the main channel at the very end.
So nothing is behind a paywall. Nothing is behind a paywall. However, if you would like the unedited, zero commercials episode almost instantly, you can have that. It's only $4 a month for the Patreon. And if you don't want
like
to spend
25 cents
an
episode, Scott.
Yeah. So if you don't want to spend that, which is completely fine, then you just need to wait an extra couple hours and it's going to be out anyways. So there you go.
Interviews immediately as well. Same deal there. Raw, unedited goes up right away. That Devereaux interview that we're going to do in about 2 hours from now, that will be up immediately later this afternoon. There you go. Also, lastly, priority seating when it comes to questions getting submitted for the mailbag and the interviews. So there you go. Today's episode brought to you by the Patreon. Thank you for the long 4-minute explanation of that. Patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. Okay, now let's get into the Blue Jays bullpen.
See, this is what happens when we miss a week, is we just need to take so much time off the beginning. But there
Too
we
much
go.
Housekeeping.
We're in it now. Too much housekeeping. That's right. It's like You don't clean the house for a week, and this is what happens. All right. The bullpen. And I don't know if you agree, but I feel like this front office, and this front office has always held value in guys that are a little quirky, a little deceptive, have an elite out pitch. You know, Adam Simber is a great example of that with his sidearm wonky kind of delivery. Anthony Bass with his wipe away slider, right? Trevor Richards and his changeup is a great example. And a lot of folks have felt that an Achilles heel within this pen has been a lack of depth when it comes to velocity. And I know this is something you and I have talked about numerous times over the last couple years. I feel like this philosophy is shifting a little bit more in line with the way the rest of baseball values arms. And I'm not saying that they're not going to see the value in an interesting delivery. We just saw them pick up Eric Swanson, who isn't necessarily a velo guy, but definitely gets those strikeouts and gets those outs. So I'm not saying that they're necessarily completely closing the door on that, but we are watching them take some flyers on some big arms. Julian Fernandez is a great example of that. They went out and signed this right-handed pitcher last week, 27 years old. He hits 103 miles an hour and has a great changeup. This is one of the exciting things about this signing. Minor league deal, so there's zero risk, and I'm not saying he's going to be any sort of savior, but this is how Felix Bautista happens in Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
You can't find a fireballer without him being in the system. You need the stuff to develop that kind of arm. So to watch them go out and take a flyer on a Julian Fernandez, who, listen, it's a bonanza Fernandez event here in Toronto because they just went out and signed Junior Fernandez. He's 25 years old. He was with St. Louis last year. Four-seamer, averages 99 miles an hour. Yeah, he had some problems. Listen, both of these guys have their warts. You don't pick up guys off the scrap heap on the waiver wire without there being some problems. Yep. Control being the big one. And when it comes to Julian, he gives up home runs. Can this be fixed? Can the Blue Jays pitching staff chip away? Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting to see this kind of velocity being added to the minor leagues. Like if you look at Fernandez, Pop, Haggy D, Zulueta, Nate Pearson, Junior Fernandez. These are all guys that are going to be in AAA Buffalo, and all of these guys throw the high 90s heat. So this is a little bit of a shift in the way this organization has operated. And I think it's a good thing. Did you have anything to add on the direction of this bullpen, Adam?
No, I just want to highlight once again, bullpen is a bit of a crapshoot. And I know you touched on the warts, but like I'm looking at Rafael Montero, relief pitcher for the Astros, pitched great last year. Previous season in Seattle, ERA of 7.2.
You can throw 103 miles an hour all day long, and if you're not throwing strikes, it is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. And so we just got to hope he finds it, right? Settles in.
And that's the truth. You hope he finds it. This is the story of all of these guys. You know, like you think Felix Bautista just happened? You think Montero just happened? All of these guys were works in progress until they weren't. And it's just unfortunately the way it goes. But the fact that this Blue Jays Bisons team is so loaded with that type of arm is awesome.
They've it's also what you got- need. You need lottery tickets and you need the hope that one or two hit.
You need depth. You need that sort of upper depth in that AAA level. And that is where Blue Jays have lacked pitching depth in the last couple of years. And it's nice to see that filling out. And they even have some really valuable pitchers in AAA that aren't fireballers. Guys like Hayden Junger, who probably will make his major league debut this year. Matt Gage, who we saw last year's back in the fold, lefty, who put up great numbers and just had options. And that was one of the reasons why we didn't see more of him. Trent Thornton is still there with some experience. I know that name kind of gives shivers to most of us Blue Jays fans, but you know, the depth is there, and that's exciting to see in this bullpen. Before we move on from the bullpen, I did want to talk Jimmy Garcia. What a value arm. What a great signing that wound up being last year. The guy's going to make $5.5 million this year and is one of the highest paid pieces in this Blue Jays bullpen. And on the open market would be making $13 million this year, I bet.
Yeah, so easily.
Very exciting to see the high leverage arms that are in the back end of this bullpen. Now you've got the Markham Madman. You've got Anthony Bass. You've got Jimmy. You've got Eric Swanson. Tim Mesa should take a step forward. I love how this bullpen is rounding out. I love the depth. I love the lottery tickets that are there. Who knows? It's not impossible. We're talking in September about, isn't it amazing what Nate Pearson has done for this team?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Your old Big Nate. The rumors persist. The legend continues. Look, even starting that sentence, I take pause. He had a rough 2023 or 2022 as a whole. Obviously started the season optimistic, got mono, wiped out basically the entire season. He did come back and pitch in AAA towards the tail end of the year. Looked good.
Yeah, he did. He really
very
did.
Small sample size, but it's some positivity to build on, hopefully.
I'm excited to see how this bullpen shapes up, whether they are going to add one more veteran arm, how they're going to go about doing it. But I do love the lottery tickets that they have. And like we said, you never know who's going to hit, but you need the guys with the stuff to win that ticket.
Question for you. And we'll end the Blue Jays pitching discussion on this. If Nate Pearson is healthy coming out of spring training, would you rather see Nate Pearson given the chance at the number five spot in the rotation or Yusei Kikuchi? Like, even if it's we try him game five of the season, Nate Pearson gets handed the ball. He struggles. Do you want to see like a Nate Pearson longish leash? Figure it out. Or do you want to give that longish leash? That's a tough one to say. Longish leash to Yusei Kikuchi. I mean, ideally, we just go sign someone else here. But if that doesn't happen, if this is the roster we have come April 1st, well, who would you rather see just get regular starts?
Okay, you're talking wild starter. You're talking the fifth start.
Fifth start.
I don't want Pearson as a starter right now.
You'd rather Yusei Kikuchi?
Or Mitch White or Bowden Francis or at no point has Nate Pearson shown the ability to start at the big league level. His stuff translates so well to the bullpen, and on top of that, 26 years old and incredibly injury prone. Let's get a healthy season under his belt before we start Joe Biagining him up and down and seeing where he lands. So I personally think the less pressure you can put on this kid and the more rope you can give him to make some big league appearances, and I think the way to do that is the bullpen. So okay. Do I want to see Yusei Kikuchi as the fifth starter? No. But over Nate Pearson, I reluctantly guess so.
All right, fair enough. You talked me out of it.
Drop your comments in the YouTube here, gang. Let us know what you think. Would you rather see Nate Pearson start in that fifth hole or Yusei Kikuchi? Or is this a question that is just too depressing to even really talk about?
Starting the year off right. Okay, let's move on from there.
This next one, I'm excited to talk, okay?
This is a good one. This is some positivity here.
New me in 2023. And so we are going to take a look at this lineup, and both Adam and I have decided on several bounce back candidates. Now, when
bounce
you look
back
at what,
or step forward
or step forward, and I think that's a really good thing to bring up, to, you know, a little qualifier here, because I know I have picked a couple guys that had decent seasons last year to take another step forward. So I'm going to start here. I'm expecting big things out of George Springer in 2023.
I like it.
2021, George played 78 games. 40 of those 78 were at designated hitter. Really struggled to stay on the field in that first season with the Blue Jays after that mega signing. Last year, a little bit better, but he definitely played through some major injuries. He played 133 games, and he limped through so much of the season with those elbow troubles. Mm-hmm. He had bone spurs in his elbow. The good news is for George Springer and for Blue Jays fans and for the organization in general, he had surgery. His elbow is completely cleaned up. I heard an interview with him on the MLB Network just the other day, him talking about he feels the best that he has felt going into his season in years. And I truly do think that with his cleaned up elbow and less time at center field, that we're going to see a 900 OPS season out of George Springer. I think we're going to see a season that we haven't seen since he was a Houston Astro. This is an interesting stat too. Outside of pitchers, okay, so obviously pitchers get injured more than any other player in baseball, but center fielders are injured per game played more than any other position out there, more than catcher, more than shortstop, more than other premium premium positions where there's a lot of wear and tear. So I think the ability to move George out of center field, having great options and Kevin Kiermaier and Dalton Varsho to take over, you know, because when you were just relying on Whit Merrifield as the fill-in center fielder, you really felt pressured to have George in that position. And I think allowing him to DH a lot more and to play right field should see him on the field healthy more often, which is just going to translate into more production from George.
Yeah, I like what you said there about Whit Merrifield too. I'm not down on Merrifield, but I definitely understand the sense of urgency that would have been tough to ignore for George when he is missing time or filling in strictly as a DH, where it's like, okay, there's a real step back in defensive and offensive production when he's out of the lineup. So, yeah, we saw him grimacing quite a bit in 2022, really forcing his way into the lineup. I don't think that urgency is going to be there this year. And I think that's a good thing. Like, hopefully no bad tacos for George Springer.
Agreed. Wouldn't that be such a success?
But if something does come up, you know, an oblique or a nagging, whatever, a rolled ankle, just give him a week off, you know, like let's get him back to 100% and then bring him back. You know, we don't need to rush and push the envelope, push the issue here. So I think that's good news. I like that mental, George Springer OPS 900. I like that prediction.
The mental side of this is so huge as well, because George Springer really is such a leader and such a clubhouse catalyst that, and I relate this back to comedy, right? Like, let's say we're on stage and you're absolutely killing. You're doing your job, but you haven't been writing. You're just doing it with old material. And even though you just killed, in the back of your mind, you're still giving yourself guilt and you're beating yourself up and you can't really enjoy the victory, right? And I think that this does translate a little bit to baseball where, yeah, George Springer, while he's DHing, last year watching Teoscar Hernandez take a day in center field, right? You're sitting there in DH spot and you're just like, oh God. So to just eliminate that mental strife from the leader of this clubhouse and give that ability for him to take a day off and not be in this kind of like panic mode, I think it's only going to be a good thing for this team.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. I see your 900 OPS, and I'm not a good poker player. I raise you. I call. I'm going to throw another 900 OPS at you. Bo Bichette, 900 OPS. 30 home runs in 2023. I think he has
I like that.
Big, big year. Honestly, I'm looking down this projected lineup here for the Blue Jays. Let me read these names to you, okay? Springer, Bichette, Vlad, Kirk, Chapman, Varsho, Jansen, Merrifield, Kiermaier.
I love it.
I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm looking at 6 guys that I genuinely think have a shot at 30 home runs in 2023. Now, caveat, I am combining Kirk and Jansen. I think Kirk and Jansen combine, we get 30 home runs out of the catcher position. I think Dalton Varsho, 30 home runs this year. I think Matt Chapman, 40 home runs this year. It's a free agent year. We're going to talk about this a bit later. I think Matt Chapman really balls out for the Blue Jays this year. Vladdy feels like a lock for 30 home runs. I think he's going to take a step forward. Bo Bichette, I think, has the, and this is saying a lot, the best offensive season he's put together. We always see him hitting right around 300, leading the league in hits last 2 seasons. I think he does that again. I think he hits over 300 with 300 home runs. I think Bo Bichette has a big, big season.
I really like this prediction, and I like it for a couple of reasons. It really did feel like Bo came into his own in September of last year. Obviously, baseball is all about small sample sizes, or all about large sample sizes. One thing to keep in mind, it is constantly talked about how 1,500 plate appearances is where you really get the sense of what a hitter is, because the league has adjusted. They have adjusted. The league has adjusted. They've gone through that song and dance. And now you're really looking at what a player has become. And I think that's where Bo Bichette is at. He's had just over 1,600 plate appearances to this point in his career. He is now heading into his age 25 season. If he puts in 3/4 of what he was in September, he is going to be an all-star. He is going to probably get MVP votes. He's already led the league in hits the last 2 seasons. I think that a step forward from Bo Bichette is very possible and would just be such a bonus for this team.
Big time. All right, who's your number 2?
Okay, my number 2 is Matt Chapman. You just touched on it here. He struggled so mightily out of the gate in April and most of May as a new member of this Toronto Blue Jays organization. His peripheral stats showed that even with this struggle, as much as mentally you could maybe see this coming, going to a new organization, it showed he had bad luck. So despite those struggles, he still was getting a lot of hard hit, putting the ball in play, getting a lot of hard hits. His exit velo was excellent. You know, barrel rate was excellent. Just a lot of bad luck. I think that he's 29 years old going into this season. It's his free agent walk year. He's comfortable in the clubhouse now. He knows his role with this team. That is a huge thing when you're a player coming from another organization, joining a new team, is finding where you fit in the clubhouse. And I think it's a bigger aspect than people give it credit for. And Matt Chapman knows what he is and who he is to this team going into 2023. I liked your prediction of 40 home runs. I was going to predict that myself. I think Matt Chapman has a very similar season to what we saw Josh Donaldson do when he was playing third base for this team. I think he's going to get some MVP votes. I think he could be a guy to hit 5 to 6 wins above replacement in 2023. And we already know how good his defense is. I say sign Matt Chapman now.
Agreed. I love it. Okay. My number 2 and my number 3, I'm cheating here. These are the same player. These are both Bo Bichette as well. I think Bobichet has an MVP season. I think all the frustration that some Blue Jays fans have with Bo gets put to bed once and for all this year. I think after this season, as far as the fan base goes, he's going to be the priority in extensions, not Vlad. I think that's the kind of season we get from him.
I would love to hear what all of you are thinking right now. Who does everyone out there think is going to, from within the organization, take a big step forward and really help this team moving forward in 2023?
Here, let me read. I know defensively he gets ragged on. Offensively, I think we can all agree he's a stud, right? Yeah. We got some comments calling Bo Bichette a POS. I forget what was the response to that. Pretty. I need to cut this whole thing out. Now I'm totally blank.
No. It was something about offensive stud.
Pure offensive stud.
Pure offensive stud. I know we came up with
okay,
it there.
Let's
yeah.
get the t-shirts made now. Bo Bichette is a POS. Pure offensive stud. Okay, so I'm gonna read you some numbers here, quick, Scott, and you're gonna guess what do these numbers represent. Okay. 25, 26, 25, 25, 27, 28, 22, 28, 31, 30, 29, 27, 36, 35, 31, 31, 32, 31, 30, 27, 26. What do those numbers represent?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Those are the ages of Gold Glove winning shortstops in the year they won their Gold Glove.
Ah.
In the American League for the last 20 years. Francisco Lindor has one at age 22. That's about it.
Probably never to be done again.
Basically, everyone on this list has won it at the age 25 season or older. Bo Bichette's been 24 for the last year.
7 years. No.
I think this is a big, big breakout season for Bo defensively as well. Okay. Beyond that list of numbers I read. So Derek Jeter in his 30s won 3 years in a row. Prior to that, A-Rod 26 and 27 back to back. And then we have like a decade of Omar Vizquel, who won 11 career Gold Gloves. He won his first in 1993 at the age of 26. So this is a, like, as good as it gets defensively guy. Didn't win his first Gold Glove till age 26, then went on to win 11. Mm-hmm. So this is just what I want people to keep in mind, because sure, there are frustrations and growing pains with Bo Bichette defensively and critiques of his arm strength, and I get it, but we do just need to remind ourselves he's a baby.
We've seen it internally before too. Look at, in fact, why don't we get into this? My last pick for a big season from within, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We watched his defense improve over the last couple of years, where he went from liability to Gold Glove winner. And I'm not saying Bo Bichette is necessarily a Gold Glove shortstop, but he's within that age range. We've seen him make phenomenal plays at shortstop. And I think this is one thing that Blue Jays fans can all attest to. And I think it's why we get so testy and frustrated with Bo. We've all watched him make plays that 2% of shortstops could make. And then you watch him take a routine ground ball and sail it over Vlad's head, and you're just pulling your hair out screaming.
Souvenir for the fans. Yeah. Cal Ripken Jr., pretty good shortstop. We can agree.
We can agree.
Rookie of the year when he was 21 years old, playing shortstop and third base, had 19 errors that season. Ages 22 to 24, he had errors of 25, 26, and 26 in those seasons. Went on to win 2 Gold Gloves. So I'm not saying Bo Bichette is Cal Ripken Jr., but he sure plays a lot of games. I really think Bo Bichette going to have a massive season. Like,
I love this pick, and I also am a Bo believer. We will move on from here. I do just want to really quickly touch on the fact, don't forget Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit 48 home runs only one season ago. Don't forget that Vladdy hit over 300 only one year ago. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was chasing the Triple Crown until middle of September, only one year ago. He is 23 years old. He turns 24 in March. The kid is a baby. He won a Gold Glove last season and still put up 32 bombs in a year where the dead ball plagued all of baseball. So I think get excited about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Get excited about Bo Bichette. These two gentlemen have been the cornerstones of this team since 2018 when the rebuild started. And that has not changed. And I think we're going to see some really, really big years out of our two cornerstones.
Love it.
Quick honorable mention to Jose Berríos too. I just think there's no way he was as bad as last year.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Moving on. Forgotten prospects.
So this is a great shift here to go from big leaguers within the organization who are going to help this team to prospects that we may have forgotten about. And this is all due in most part to injuries, right? You get a lot of heat on some of these guys, all of a sudden you miss a season and 20 guys have passed you on the prospect rankings. So let's talk about some guys who truly could contribute to this Blue Jays team in 2023. It would be a little bit of a surprise, but also totally have the talent within these gentlemen to do this. Let's start with friend of the show, one of the first, I think it was the first prospect
we talked to.
The very first prospect we ever had join us over 2 years ago now, Joey Murray. Joey Murray, 26 years old. He missed almost all of last season struggling with injuries. There was a lot of heat with Joey Murray because he had the highest spin rate of any Blue Jay player in the organization. Go ahead.
He led the organization in strikeouts in 2019 across all levels, major leagues and minor leagues.
There was a timeline, I want to say coincidence, because I don't think that he was all about the sticky stuff. Just when we talked to him and his spin rate, it didn't feel that way. That doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't. Maybe this is part of the reason why he has struggled, is that his spin rate isn't what it used to be. However, he is at the age where him breaking would not surprise me. He's going to be starting at AAA this year. He had so much heat coming up the prospect rankings only a couple years ago. And I really do think that a bounce back season from Joey Murray coming off of injury is a very likely possibility. And we're rooting for him.
I do want to also point out with Joey Murray, because like you said, when a guy, this is the easy connection to make, is a guy had sky's the limit potential and an absurd spin rate, like 99th percentile spin rate, and a fastball that just couldn't be touched. And then struggles, and like you said, the timeline lines up with the MLB's ban on sticky stuff. This isn't a kid who added spin rate when he got to the Blue Jays organization. This is a kid who was drafted and scouted out of Kent State for that spin rate.
Yankee scouts went up to him and even mentioned the spin before he even knew he had spin rate.
I'm definitely going to give him the benefit of the doubt that the kid from Kent State with the high spin rate didn't have an inside connection with Trevor Bauer's camp.
Spider tack. Right? Yeah.
Exactly. So I do think that it was mostly bad luck injuries that plagued him the last two seasons. And as he hopefully has a healthy season in 2023, this is definitely a guy who could be a real bonus midseason for the Jays.
He had a fall from grace. He was ranked 7th in the prospect listing going into the 2021 season, wound up getting injured halfway through the season, missed almost all of last year, and now he's out of the top 20. But don't forget, he still has that stuff. He still has what brought him up the prospect rankings. Speaking of prospect rankings and friends of the show, I also want to touch on Adam Klofenstein. Listen, hey. Klofenstein was ranked as the number 4 prospect at 19 years old back in the going into the 2021 season. Adam Klofenstein is 6'6". He's big, he's tall, he's lanky. He's got all sorts of pedigree. The problem is when you're this size is it's tough to be compact, to get your delivery down, to get your delivery to the point where it's repeatable. We watched Alek Manoah have far less hype than Adam Klofenstein come up and blow him out of the water. But guess what? Alek Manoah was 23 while Klofenstein was 19. Adam Klofenstein is now 22 years old, and he's starting to figure his size out. He spent the last 3 years in Vancouver, which we always talk about how progress isn't linear, and this is a really great example of that, because Klofenstein is a dude who really has had to struggle to figure out control. Listen, we already talked about this, right? You can throw the nastiest stuff on the planet. If you're not throwing it for strikes, no one gives a shit. To quote friend of the show, Anthony Telford. So to watch Adam Klofenstein start to put this together, I think he's going to wind up starting the year in AA at New Hampshire. We're going to need to keep an eye on how he progresses, but he still throws 99 miles an hour. He still has above average off-speed stuff.
Now is a good time to remind everyone too that the publicly listed MLB prospect rankings are not a mirror image of the Blue Jays' internal rankings of prospects. And one of the, I guess, I don't want to say running themes, but a recurrent topic that gets brought up with a lot of these pitchers that we talk to is the development strategy in the minor leagues, at least with this Blue Jays organization, has been that they are less, it seems, maybe it's a case-by-case basis, but I know specifically when we talked to Klofenstein, he did point out that like the Blue Jays were specifically working on him, developing him into a starter.
Yes.
And that was something to be mindful of. When we look at his stats, the ERA does balloon a bit in 2021, 2022. It's over 5. That's not good. But does that mean the Blue Jays are all of a sudden down on him? Or does that mean that the Blue Jays specifically were like, we don't care about your ERA. We care that you can be a 200 inning guy for us in 4 years. We need you to learn how to get ground ball outs, get outs quickly. You know, we'd rather see a 2-pitch ground out than a 7-pitch strikeout, right? Because we need you to be a long innings guy, right? So there is that to keep in mind. If you're looking at Adam Klofenstein's stat line, it may look ugly, but I do think that is a real factor, is that, again, super young, and the Blue Jays are like, we are not expecting you to be a starting pitcher at 22 years old, but beyond that, we need you to figure out how to get deep into games. So
A ball, both low and high A, are very much developmental leagues. I know that we were talking to Troy Watson with the Vancouver Canadians, and he brought up the fact that in the Seattle Mariners system, every pitcher needs to throw one off-speed pitch every single hitter that they're throwing to.
Yeah.
So we don't know what the Blue Jays' developmental path for Klofenstein is. But I guarantee that there's a lot of that sort of thing going on where they're like, hey, we need you working on this. We need you working on that. You're going to stay here in Vancouver till we figure this out. Because even though this has taken you 2 years to get to this point, you're 22, kid. Don't rush it. You've got the stuff. we're going to develop you properly. And it's good to see. And I think we are going to see a big step forward out of Adam this season. We'll keep an eye on him. Okay. Next guy. No one's going to be surprised to hear this, but 26-year-old, we already touched on him, Nate Pearson.
Big Nate.
Big Nate. Listen, he has struggled with his health, and that has been the major issue with this kid. I'm sure he's incredibly frustrated. I'm sure that he's fed up as much as anyone in Blue Jays land is. I know it's almost become a running joke amongst fans. You know, we even make the joke here, right? Big Nate, he's like Bigfoot. Do you ever see him? Does he exist? We always hear about it. There have been sightings. Listen, he looked absolutely incredible in the Dominican Winter League this offseason. He has built up his innings. His arm is feeling good. He's hitting triple digits. And he is pitching in high leverage situations. I think there is going to be plenty of opportunity given from this Blue Jays organization for Nate to make this team. I don't know if he'll do it right out of spring training. However, I think that opportunity is going to be allotted to him. And I think he's going to be one of the first guys up, depending on how he's looking at AAA and how healthy he stays. Another guy that I wanted to bring up that some of you might have even just forgot he even existed, Eric Pardino. This kid was drafted at 18 years old out of Brazil. He was, not drafted, free agent signing.
Right.
But I do want to bring up that in 2019, he was the Toronto Blue Jays' number 4 prospect. He finally has gotten back on the field. Gang, he has pitched maybe 50 innings over the last 3 years up until last season. He got 30 innings under his belt at the end of the season last year. 22 years old now. He hasn't pitched much at all since 2019, but very much like Adam Klofenstein, very much like some of these guys we just mentioned, his stuff didn't go anywhere. There's a reason he was the number 4 ranked prospect in this Blue Jays system, and it was because of his elite off-speed pitches and his ability to hit his spots. So his struggle has been the other way, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is a reason a team keeps a guy around for 4 years when he's not producing.
When he's not even on the field.
Right, like, I mean, we've talked to countless players in this organization now, it feels like, who have been converted from one position to another. Hey, you can't hit. Try pitching or we're going to cut you, is basically the approach, right? Like, you got a pretty good arm. Let's see if you can find the strike zone. And if you can, maybe there's a spot. Otherwise, thanks and good luck. You're not paying a guy to hang out at the rehab facility unless you think there's gold at the end of that rainbow.
Exactly.
Hopefully he can stay healthy and put it together. There, like you said, this kid can throw when he's healthy. So hopefully this is all behind him. But yeah, reason to be optimistic with Pardino there. I like it.
For both Pardino and Pearson, the biggest thing is going to be these kids staying healthy. The final guy I want to bring up, prospects that we have forgotten about, Bowden Francis, who is currently in the Puerto Rican Winter League, rocking it as a starting pitcher. He's got a 1.51 ERA, a 35% K rate. So he's striking out more than one guy every inning, which is incredible. He's only walking 6% of batters. He's done this over 35 innings pitched in the last month and a half there. I think Bowden Francis, now some of you may have forgotten this, but Bowden actually came over in the Rowdy Tellez trade. He was the prospect throwing in when they went out and got Trevor Richards from Milwaukee. Bowden has struggled with his location. This is every pitcher in the minor leagues problem almost, right? It's finding your spots, and we're starting to watch him find his spots, and it is translating into success. Bowden Francis, if Yusei Kikuchi is for sure going to be in the bullpen and Mitch White has a terrible spring training and the Jays haven't brought in a guy like Johnny Cueto, he truly could be an internal option for that fifth starter. I don't wish to see that happen. Obviously, I feel like that's more of a rebuilding team type of move. However, there is finally some depth at this AAA level for starting pitching, and Bowden Francis is going to be one of them. Joey Murray, like we just talked about, probably another. These guys are taking steps forward, and that is only good news for the depth when it comes to this Toronto Blue Jays organization. All right, let's move along. Bench pieces. There is obviously still a real need for fourth outfielders with this Toronto Blue Jays team. I think Robbie Grossman has been talked about a lot. This is a switch hitter, something that would fit really well as a bench piece. He doesn't play a great outfield, but could definitely, between Whit Merrifield, Kevin Biggio, and a guy like Grossman, they could definitely cover what is remaining for a need in the outfield. His last 2 years versus left-handed pitching, and this is why you would want a guy like Grossman, is to hit left-handed pitching. He hit .296 was his average, and over 400 on base percentage, which just works really well, especially as that kind of bench piece. Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if that's the case, and he is a guy who is only in the lineup against lefty pitchers, like, you need those guys. You need those guys.
You need those guys. Roster.
So it's not going to be a sexy addition, but you definitely need those guys.
Those guys to the Tampa Bay Rays are oxygen, you know, like they just live on those type of guys. So they are very useful. Going the other way, the only thing I don't like about Andrew McCutchen is that he is a right-handed hitter, but honestly, he would be such an incredible add to this organization. I really do like Andrew McCutchen. I think that in 2016, it was stated that this front office took a real run at him, which is the same front office we're currently under. This is after the Anthopoulos regime change. So this was Shapiro and Atkins that were in touch with the McCutchen camp. So there is a little bit of history there. He's 36 years old. But Adam, he still is in the 90th percentile for sprint speed.
Wow.
Like, that's wild. At 36 years old. So he's still an incredible defender. He's still an incredible base runner. Have you got his numbers up by chance?
Yeah. So obviously this is former MVP Andrew McCutchen we're talking about.
At the end of his career, yes.
Top five MVP votes from 2012 to 2015. Silver Sluggers, Gold Glove Award. This is someone who last season at the age 35 with the Brewers, for the first time in his career, had an OPS plus below 100. So 100 is the average across the league for anybody not familiar with OPS plus. Like you said, still in the 90th percentile for speed. This is a guy, like you said, he's not left-handed. What is he? Above average defender? Can we say that still?
I think quite heartily we can say that, yeah.
Okay. Elite speed?
Yeah.
This is a new rules MLB in 2023, bigger bases. Pickoff move restrictions. This is the perfect replacement for a Bradley Zimmer, in my opinion. Like, this is the fifth outfielder you want that you can put in the, you know, to pinch run in the eighth inning of any baseball game and not feel like you're just setting an at bat on fire if it does go that way in the ninth or in.
He's going to run into some too. He still has power. He had 17 dingers last year, and he's going to play. Like, the big thing is, can you convince Andrew McCutchen to come in as that fourth outfielder to be that more of a bench role player?
I think you can.
However, I think you can. I think winning
is a guy
is a
without
big
any
thing.
Rings, and this is a guy, an opportunity to
great
get
point.
One.
Great point. And again, when you're talking to him, show him how many games
Raimel
Tapia played.
Absolutely.
Right? There is going to be playing time available. I think if they did sign Andrew McCutchen, you're still going to see him on the field for 120 games in a season. I think he's an excellent option off the bench for defensive reinforcements. If you've got some sort of weird outfield alignment where, let's say, Biggio's getting a start out there. I think that on top of all of this, yes, the only detractor is that he's a right-handed bat, but he also hits lefties fine. It's not an elite thing, but he's also not going to take you back a step. I love the idea of Andrew McCutchen. David Peralta is also still out there, but I like McCutchen so much better than Peralta, even though Peralta is a power guy who's a lefty bat and could really hit some dingers off the bench for this team. I just don't particularly like Peralta's defense, and he's very much more of a bench role actual guy. He's a dude who, like, if he's going to play 60 games in a season, I'm fine with. I just don't want to see him in the outfield for 120 games. And after the Raimel Tapia stuff, you just know that's how many you're going to get out of your fourth outfielder.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Okay, would love to hear whatever everyone else thinks. Who would you like to see on this Blue Jays bench? Where do you see that fourth outfielder coming from? Is he a signing? Is it a trade? Who do you have your eyes on? Okay, let's move on. We're getting long in the teeth here. We are going to wrap up here right away. I did want to talk the Rafael Devers contract and obviously get into Carlos Correa before we do that. So let's get into it. Rafael Devers, star third baseman. We have already talked about the third base market that was shaping up for next season. This is going to be a little bit of a hit to it as the Red Sox finally retain some homegrown talent after watching Mookie Betts leave in devastating fashion, after watching Xander Bogaerts go to the Padres in devastating fashion. They bucked up. 11 years, $331 million, and they have their 26-year-old homegrown stud third baseman under contract until he is 37 years old. Great move by the Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm surprised they actually did it.
I'm also very surprised they actually did it. But definitely makes this Red Sox team maybe not a contender. They didn't add anything, but they did retain their biggest asset, and there is something big to be said for doing that, especially with Chaim Bloom was on the hot seat. I don't know if this takes him off of it, but it definitely simmers the hate that was going on in Beantown for him. So you watch this extension, and it's hard as a Blue Jays fan not to your initial reaction be Vlad extension.
Yeah. Let's pull up the tweet here for Ben Nicholson-Smith.
Okay.
So Rafael Devers' deal is relevant reference point for Vlad Jr. and the Blue Jays in any potential extensions. We talk about this right off the start of the show, right? Like, any front office is looking for comparables.
Exactly.
Right? What is comparable numbers? What is comparable age? What is comparable results? Here's a comparable contract, right? It's just as often as possible, that is the approach that a guy wants to go with. So Rafael Devers, this is through age 25, 283, 342, 512 is the slash line, OPS plus of 124 and a 15.2 war through age 25. Vlad Jr., the slash line, very similar, 284, 358, 504 with an OPS plus of 135 and a war of 13.4. But that is through age 23. Similar numbers. Vlad Jr.'s are better. So, Vlad's camp, that's got to be the starting point for conversations.
Now, from the Blue Jays organization standpoint, I think it is a very good comparable signing. First base is definitely a less valued position than third base, despite the fact that Vladdy does it defensively incredibly great well point at first base. And especially with Bo Bichette throwing balls in the dirt, he's a picking machine. So he is definitely showing he can be that stalwart first baseman defensively. However, I think that you can bet on the fact you still need to be over the $300 million range with an extension. with Vladdy. I think somewhere along the lines, what seems fair to me when you look at this Devers deal, maybe 12 years, $320 million. Takes Vlad to his age 36 contract. It makes him one of the big boys. There's very, very few with that $300 million plus contract. I think in baseball, there's seven of them. I didn't actually sit down and do the math here, but you know, it's a very elite group of players. And I think just the prestige and the ego drive of being in that is something that is important, right? To take your star homegrown stud and be like, listen, you are Fernando Tatis Jr. to us. You are our Rafael Devers. You are the most important thing to this organization. So maybe something along the lines of 12 years, $320 million gets it done. You go, you know, 2023, let's get this done this offseason. 2023, maybe you go 17 mil, 20 million in 2024, 24 million in 2025, and then you go 28 and a half million 2026 to 2034. Put a bow on it. Print out Vladdy's face permanently and put it all over the Rogers Center.
I just don't. I mean, so in this proposal, Vladdy gets a
no trade
that sees him become a free agent at age 36.
Yeah.
We just talked to Andrew McCutchen. Mm-hmm. 36 years old. Last year he signed an $8 million deal 1 year with the Brewers, sorry. It's going to be similar numbers to that, I would imagine, for the Blue Jays at age 36, coming off the worst season of his career. I just can't see a situation where Vladdy wants to go year to year for the last 5 years of his career, making between $5 and $8 million a year.
Fine. Let's go 330, 15 years, you know, like whatever you want to do. If he would like to, I mean, I'm sure the Blue Jays would be all for amortizing it over a longer period of time. I just don't see them going that much higher than what Devers got. So Devers got $331 million over 11 years. Maybe they match that and go 13, 14 years. Again, the first base to third base thing is a big deal. And I don't think it's something that will be overlooked by this front office. And I don't think it'll be overlooked by any front office. So I think Vlad knows.
Yeah, I could see that. Like I could see Atkins coming to the table and bring in a spreadsheet deal.
Yeah.
But I just, if I'm Vlad, I can't imagine. I'm looking at a contract that ends when I'm 30, or I'm looking at a contract that ends when I'm 40. And the AAV is going to be similar, but not the total money.
Okay. So we've talked about this lots. We'll leave it at this, but let's end on Vlad is a free agent in 2026. When do you, first of all, do you feel there will be an extension? And secondly, if you were to guess, which offseason will it be in?
Not this offseason.
You don't think it's this offseason, eh?
No, I don't think that it. I was reading this article on MLB trade rumors, and this is, I wasn't able to verify the claims made in this, but this was, they're talking about the contract extension and the differences between Brian Reynolds and the Pittsburgh Pirates. So Brian Reynolds is asking allegedly for $120 million. The Pirates are around $70 million. They talk Reynolds and his service time, where he is in his arb years. So according to arbitration, he's going to get $6 million roughly this season and then have two more seasons of arbitration before hitting free agency in 2026. So same window as Vlad. This article points out that six players in that service bucket, so having 3 years left, have signed extensions topping $70 million. Sean Murphy did that this week with the Braves. And just two players in that service class have reached 120 million, with Freddie Freeman holding the record at 135. So again, I can't verify this. I couldn't, it's hard to find a comprehensive list that specific based on service years. So kudos to Anthony Franco for doing the research. If anybody can contradict that, please let me know. But this is the best information I have. So this is the window that Vlad is in right now.
So most likely, if he follows the path that other
precedent and the history being a big mega deal is not likely this off season as he approaches,
or
maybe next season or the year after. I don't think they leave it until his walk year.
I don't think
they want to get into a Aaron Judge New York Yankees situation.
Yeah,
where we're watching him hit 75 home runs and then having to really dish out the bucks. I don't think we want to get into that spot. So I think they are going to go hard after the 2025 season. I think he plays.
Okay.
I think that's the way she goes.
But what do I hope? I hope it's this season, but you make a lot of sense there. Feel free to drop in the comments here what you think. When will Vlad be signed? 2024, 2025? Will he be signed? Okay, let's end on Carlos Correa, because this saga does not seem to have an end in sight. Just a reminder, Carlos Correa, technically, still a free agent. Still available. Sure, he has done the ring around the rosy, around the chairs, magical chairs?
Musical chairs.
Musical chairs, magical chairs. Wow, musical chairs. Has it been that long, Scott? Musical chairs here of putting on a jersey and then taking that jersey off after failing the physical. He failed the physical with the Giants. Obviously, the baseball world melted down when that fell apart. Then the Mets swooped in on another mega contract. Now that is melting down. It's being reported that the Correa camp is now talking to other teams again, which is wild. He's back in talks with maybe even the Minnesota Twins has been mentioned. Friend of the show, Jim at Ball Cap Sports, brought up a really interesting thought on what this could be about. He mentioned that this could truly just be an insurance issue and that these teams would even like to push him through the physical, but not with the risk of not being able to insure this $330 million contract. We just watched the Blue Jays take advantage of an insurance claim on Hinjin Ryu's contract, $20 million a year. They wound up getting almost $17 million back of that for this year he's missing.
That is a good point.
I think that Jim is onto something here. And I think that the insurance issue may very well be what prevents Carlos Correa from getting that mega long-term deal that he's after. I feel so bad for the guy. Like every MRI of his ankle is like, "Oh no, you X-ray his ankle, it's a mess in there." This is an injury from 2014, and it's just like, yeah, his body's breaking down. So is he going to wind up going year to year now? Like, is he at 28 years old already in Nelson Cruz territory?
Year to year that's rough.
Right?
Is there a way there's a 5-year deal for $160 million? Can we do like a face saving?
Right.
Thing where it's like the AAV is still absurd, you know, a Trevor Bauer, we're getting $42 million a year for 3 years. Like maybe, I don't know.
Would you do 3 years, $100 million?
As a team or as a player?
As a team for Carlos Correa. Do you think there is, he's already opted out of the Twins deal, which if now I he's was... probably kicking himself for.
If I was the Blue Jays, I would give him $120 million over 3 years.
Interesting.
I would like do that today. Though. I would bring him
sure
in.
That sure lines up with that window.
Mm-hmm. That lines up with the window. It is money off the books in time to give a proper extension for Bo and Vlad. I would absolutely do that. I don't know if he's listening to those calls or not, but
for those of you that are very upset with the fact we just used the term window of contention, we do mean garage door of contention, obviously. A large, large opening in the house of contention, yes.
It's a big bay window.
It's a big bay window. All right, gang. This has been so much fun. I've missed talking baseball. Adam, I'm glad that we're back at it, buddy.
We have a busy January lined up.
Very busy January lined up. Very, very busy January. A very happy 2023 to all of you. Thank you so much for all the support you've given over the last year. It means the world to Adam and I. Feel free to join the Discord show. Link is in the show notes. Walk Off Podcast on Twitter. The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. Patreon. Feel free to join us. We've got real reasons to do so now. If you don't wish to wait for the clips to come out, if you would just like the unedited version of the show right away with no interruptions or advertising, that is now available. And we're going to be doing trivia nights as well, which is very fun. All right, everybody, take care of yourselves. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.